So I'm Mackenzie Wehner, and as it was said, I'm presenting today on indoor tanning in non-melanoma skin cancer, a systematic review and meta-analysis. I have no relationships to disclose on personal financial matters. And the outline of my talk today, I'm going to give a little bit of a background on the topic, then talk about our study on indoor tanning and non-melanoma skin cancer, and finally some discussion and conclusions. So first, some background. Indoor tanning is a $5 billion a year industry with approximately 1 million users per day in the U.S. Typical users are women between the ages of 17 and 30. People who smoke and drink alcohol are more likely to use indoor tanning, and people whose family and friends use indoor tanning are also more likely to use indoor tanning. The risks of indoor tanning are acute burns, eye damage, and malignant melanoma. So there's a 20% increased risk of melanoma in ever users of indoor tanning, an 87% increased risk if the first use is at less than 35 years of age, and a 42% increased risk in frequent users. Because of this, indoor tanning is classed as a class 1 carcinogen, according to the World Health Organization, and this is along with substances like asbestos and cigarette smoking. So now some background on non-melanoma skin cancer. So non-melanoma skin cancer is comprised of two cancer types. One is basal cell carcinoma, seen on the left, and the other is squamous cell carcinoma, seen on the right. Non-melanoma skin cancer is rarely fatal, with greater than 95% cure rates, but treatment is required to prevent significant morbidity. Non-melanoma skin cancer is by far the most common human malignancy, and an estimated 3.5 million cases are diagnosed each year in the U.S. So this high incidence is a burden to healthcare systems. Non-melanoma skin cancer is the fifth most expensive cancer to Medicare in this country. So now on to our study on indoor tanning and non-melanoma skin cancer. Indoor tanning is a preventable source of UV exposure, and indoor tanning, as I said, has been shown to be a risk factor for malignant melanoma, and it's also been shown to be a potential risk factor for non-melanoma skin cancer in a previous meta-analysis. However, small study sizes and few participants reporting the exposure to indoor tanning have yielded varied results. So the study questions we wanted to answer with this study were, what is the risk of indoor tanning for non-melanoma skin cancer? Is the risk higher in young people? And how many non-melanoma skin cancers are attributable to indoor tanning? The methods we used were a systematic review and random effects meta-analysis. We included all English articles reporting quantitative effects of indoor tanning and non-melanoma skin cancer. Our primary analysis was compared ever versus never exposure to indoor tanning. And secondary analyses examined young age, so less than 25 years at first exposure, and also examined regular or high-dose exposure. Our literature search and exclusions are as follows. 558 unique records were identified and screened by title and abstract. 22 full-text articles were assessed for eligibility. 16 studies were relevant and included in a qualitative synthesis. And 12 studies were included in a final quantitative synthesis or meta-analysis. The four studies that were excluded from this used measures that were not comparable to the rest of the studies. So one compared mean numbers of exposures, one grouped basal and squamous cell carcinoma with melanoma, and two grouped basal and squamous cell carcinoma together, which the rest of the studies did not. And these are our results. For the primary analysis of ever use of indoor tanning, the summary relative risk from 8 studies for basal cell carcinoma was 1.29, and that was statistically significant. For squamous cell carcinoma, from 6 studies, the relative risk was 1.67, which was also statistically significant. For our secondary analysis of young age at first exposure, so that's less than 25 years old, the summary relative risk for basal cell carcinoma was 1.4, and for squamous cell carcinoma was 2.02, though that one was not statistically significant. And finally, for frequent use, so this was greater than 4 exposures per year, greater than 5 exposures per year, or, quote, regular use in 3 studies, the relative risk for basal cell carcinoma was 1.5, though this was, again, non-significant. So next, we did the population proportional attributable risk, or percentage of cases attributable to an exposure for indoor tanning. To do this, we use this equation, prevalence of exposure times the relative risk minus 1 over 1 plus the prevalence of exposure times the relative risk minus 1. And we use those summary relative risks that we got from our primary analysis of ever exposure to indoor tanning. And the results were that for squamous cell carcinoma, 8.2% of cases were attributable to indoor tanning. And for basal cell carcinoma, 3.7% of cases are attributable to indoor tanning. Now, those numbers seem very small percentages, but when that's multiplied by the 3.5 million new cases of non-melanoma skin cancer per year, of which about a quarter are squamous cell and about three quarters are basal cell, you end up with more than 72,000 cases of squamous cell carcinoma and more than 98,000 cases of basal cell carcinoma, for a grand total of more than 170,000 cases of non-melanoma skin cancer each year attributable to indoor tanning in just the U.S. So now some discussion and conclusions. First, the limitations of this study. First, there were few studies that were included, especially for the subgroup analyses. So we only had 12 studies available, and some of the subgroup analyses only used three. Most studies that we used in this meta-analysis were retrospective and case controls. And most, but not all, of the studies controlled for the important, obvious confounder of outdoor sun exposure. However, the results did not change appreciably when four studies that did not fully adjust for confounders were excluded. And finally, the studies span different decades, with tanning bed changes over time. So there's no way of us being sure that the tanning bed UV exposure experienced in one study is equivalent to that in another. Finally, a summary of these results. What are the answers to the questions we're looking for, and what are kind of the take-home points from this study? what is the risk of indoor tanning for non-melanoma skin cancer? Well, it's about a 30% higher risk of basal cell carcinoma and a 70% higher risk of squamous cell carcinoma for every use of an indoor tanning device. Is the risk higher for young people? Yes, for those less than 25 years of age at first exposure. It's about 40% higher risk of basal cell carcinoma and potentially 100% higher risk of squamous cell carcinoma, though that was non-significant. And how many non-melanoma skin cancers are attributable to indoor tanning? It's approximately 98,000 basal cell carcinomas and 72,000 squamous cell carcinomas, so 170,000 new cancers each year in the U.S. So in conclusion, indoor tanning is associated with an increased risk of both basal and squamous cell carcinoma, especially when exposure occurs early in life. Indoor tanning exposure accounts for more than 100,000 new cancer cases in the United States each year, and these cancers are preventable. So we hope that these results can increase regulation and spur more public health campaigns to reduce exposure to this carcinogen. I'd like to thank my mentors, Dr. Lenny Linus and Dr. Mary Margaret Kren, as well as Melissa Shai of Rupa Parvataneni, Sarah Stewart, Abrar Qureshi, Jelly Han, and Emanuele D'Antonio, and Stephen Bent. Thank you very much. I'd welcome any questions.
Do you have a couple minutes available for questions? Does anyone have one?
I'm a clinician, and I see a lot of people resorting to tanning beds because of their interest in vitamin D. Any public health insights as how you balance those messages?
Yeah, so I think one thing to be aware of at the beginning is that the vitamin D issue is the kind of the number one selling point on tanning beds. So if you were to call a tanning salon or go to one yourself, that's one of the big health benefits that they're listing. And there obviously is evidence that UV exposure gives you enough vitamin D, but the people using tanning beds tend to be young women who are not really at risk for vitamin D deficiencies in the first place. So I think if someone was deficient, that would be kind of a whole other ballgame. But most of the people using these tanning beds are unlikely to be deficient, unlikely to be needing more vitamin D. And there's also kind of another obvious and perhaps easier supplementation available. So that's kind of how I would approach it and how I've been thinking about it, though perhaps in some populations it could be useful.
How do you account for potential confounding or effect modification by smoking and alcohol use?
That's a really good question. So how do you account for confounders like smoking, alcohol use? So smoking is somewhat associated with one of these cancers. And in general, if these people using indoor tanning are less healthy than other people, that could be a definite concern. So all of the studies that we used did adjust for confounders, and they adjusted for kind of variable numbers of confounders. So age, gender, other major confounders. And so some of them did do lifestyle factors and some didn't. With our study, we can't really say whether things like whether this result is confounded by things like smoking or alcohol use or any other health-related behavior, because we're limited by the studies that kind of are our inputs. But that's a definite consideration and a definite concern.
What statistical software did you use?
We used Stata 12 statistical software for this.
I have a quick question as well. It seems to me that those who would be more likely to use indoor tanning might be especially young women who are just inherently more interested in having a tan and perhaps maintaining a tan year-round. So is there a chance that those who are more likely to use indoor tanning are also more likely to just seek out sun exposure generally so that you have a compounding effect or just increased sun seeking in that population?
That's also a definite concern as well. So if people are sun-seeking anyway and they're also using indoor tanning, are these indoor tanning beds really culpable? So many of the studies we used did adjust for outdoor sun exposure, so number of sunny vacations you take, how many sunburns you've gotten in your life, other things like that. So we feel like, especially when we eliminated any studies that didn't address those issues, we still found this effect. So we feel like this is very likely to be continually true, but it is possible that these people are sun-seeking. However, if really the problem is, I guess this is additional UV exposure that's kind of unnecessary and easy to get. As we were discussing before, in San Francisco perhaps, maybe you're very sun-seeking, but it's very difficult to find a public park on a sunny day where it's comfortable to get in your bikini and try to get a tan. So indoor tanning provides people with kind of a safe, comfortable way to do that. And if that wasn't available to them, even though they have sun-seeking behavior, they might not be able to act on it as much.
Thank you.
Thank you.